The Internal Revenue Service reasoned by the book this year and showed the world that it will not let emotions get in the way of the tax code. The story's a sad one. Parents of a child who's been missing, kidnapped by a stranger, asked if they could take a deduction for that child on their tax return. In other words, if the child had been living with them all this time, they would certainly be able to claim her. But she's somewhere out there, they hope. Can they still list her as a dependent? Looking at the situation completely without heart, the answer is clear. They aren't paying anything for the care of their child. They don't feed her or clothe her. Why should they get a deduction for money they're not spending? But it's probably not about the bottom line. This is an emotional thing. It's because they want to believe she's still alive. Somehow there's strength in listing her as one of their children, in answering that yes, they have three children, let's say, not just two, even on a bureaucratic form. But the IRS responded without heart. Yes, you may claim her as a dependent the first year she's missing, but not after that. No, the tax code requires that you pay more than half of a child's support before you can claim her as a deduction. And by the second year, because you're not paying anything, sorry. This decision disappointed those of us who think it shouldn't be about the money. After all, how many children are kidnapped by strangers across the United States each year? Experts disagree, maybe up to 300. Had the IRS decided the matter differently, allowing for deductions for missing children, exactly how much money would it be losing? No matter how you add it up, not much. Isn't it plainly more in the interests of the United States to support in some tiny way parents of a missing kidnapped child, to give them the psychological boost of listing her as their child on a tax return? We support you, we know she's out there too, and she'll be home soon. Talking about it in the days after the decision, Professor Dick Kaplan, who teaches tax at the University of Illinois College of Law, predicted that Congress would soon take action, that this decision was something politicians could rally against in this election year without fear of offending anyone, except maybe that IRS lawyer who decided the case initially. And Professor Kaplan was right. This week, the House is scheduled to vote on the Missing Children Tax Fairness Act of 2000. It allows parents of children kidnapped by strangers to claim the deduction until the child reaches 18 or until the child is found dead. Legislation that reverses the IRS decision and shows that the U.S. doesn't need that tiny boost to its coffers at the expense of psychological turmoil for the parents of missing kids. And even if this act is for all the wrong reasons, election year child kissing, that's okay. The government should show it believes just as strongly as the parents do that a missing child is still alive somewhere, is still a child. Especially because our government, via police and the FBI, is working to bring her home. The New York Times reported last month that this is not the first time the IRS has quashed the hope of a missing child's family. Back in the 80s, the IRS audited the Gosch family from Iowa 4 years after a stranger snatched their newspaper carrier son, 12-year-old Johnny, in front of several witnesses. The Gosch family had claimed Johnny as a dependent on their tax return, and the IRS steadfastly refused to allow it, even after repeated appeals. Johnny's never been found. But there he is, on the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children website, age progressed to a 27-year-old. The cyber poster asks that anyone who knows anything call the West Des Moines Police Department. Certainly the family hopes he's still out there somewhere. The government shouldn't be the one to tell them he's not. I'm Amy Guida.